Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our shepherd, you know your sheep by name and lead us to safety through the valleys of death. Guide us by your voice, that we may walk in certainty and security to the joyous feast prepared in your house. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Reading from Acts. The baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Word of God, word of life.
Shepherd me, O God, beyond my cross, beyond.
A reading from 1 Peter. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example, and so that you shall follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. A father was reading the newspaper, and his son sitting in the same room also reading the paper with him, and the teenager reading his section and dad reading his section, and dad came upon this article that he thought would be quite interesting. And he said, "Son, listen," I want to share this article with you. It's about children who suffer from the lack of attention, and that this attention lack causes educational achievements. The article went on to say that the opinion of the author was that children today are lazy and have little concentration and barely possess any listening skills at all. And when the father finished the article, he turned to his son and said, "So what do you think about this study?" And the son said, "Sorry, what were you saying?" Sometimes we don't listen. We do that with our spouse and our children and our parents, with our coworkers and our neighbors. And sometimes we do that with God, our shepherd. Sometimes we're just content to be in the presence of others, sitting in the same room or in the church. And that's okay. But sometimes we get so absorbed in our own thoughts about what we're doing, what we're thinking, that we just don't listen. The text from the Gospel of John invites us to reflect on our listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. And we sang, "Shepherd me, O God." Do any of you pet owners have that computer program called Bowlingual? Well, this is true. About 5 or 6 years ago, a group of Japanese technologists developed this program, and actually they won a Nobel Prize for harmony between species. And this computer program has, there's a chip on the dog's collar that transmits a signal to your computer. So the dog barks, and then the signal is transmitted to your computer, and the bark is divided, there's like 6 different categories: happy, sad, aggressive, on guard, something of that sort. And then, so the dog barks, and it's according to breed and size and the muzzle shape and everything, so dogs' barks are different. It's not just a made-up thing. So your dog barks, and your computer says, translates that into a voice. So, for example, the doorbell rings, and the dog barks, and your computer says, "On guard." And you go out to get your newspaper, and you come back in, and your dog barks, and your computer says, "You're home, you're home." I'm wondering, though, you come downstairs in a new shirt, and your dog barks, and your computer says, "You're wearing that?" This is a true program. You, too, can have one for your dog. They also have it for cats, called Meowlingual. But it's not selling very well in the United States. I guess most people figure their cats really don't care what their humans think. And besides, the Japanese or the meow program hasn't been translated yet, so it would just be in Japanese, which might be hard for most of us to understand. But I'm told, you know, you're all laughing at this because that means you don't have this program. But probably you don't have it because you don't think you need it. You probably know what your dog means when your dog barks. At least most pet owners tell me that the longer they've had their relationship with their animal, the longer they've been together, the better they understand one another. The longer you're with your pet, the more your pet knows you and you know your pet. I think this is the example that Jesus was trying to give to us in the scripture that we heard today, this sheep and shepherd image. Jesus was teaching in the temple, and he was surrounded by a group of would-be disciples. And they come to him and say, "Okay, we've had enough of this. You've been with us long enough. If you're the Messiah, say it straight out. Tell us, yes or no, are you the Messiah?" And Jesus knew that if he said yes, he would get into this kind of trouble. If he said no, because he was the Messiah, is the Messiah, he wasn't going to say no. But if he said yes, they would think that they understood what he meant. Their understanding of Messiah was so different from what Jesus knew and who Jesus is. Even by their question, Jesus knew that they had not been paying attention, that they may have been hearing his words, that they weren't really paying attention to them. They were watching him and hearing him, but they weren't really listening to him. They had their minds set on what it meant to be Messiah, and Jesus wasn't it. They weren't listening. Jesus makes his point then by telling a story, as he was so apt to do. And he uses this analogy of a shepherd and his sheep. Now, in first century Palestine, that would make a lot of sense to tell a story like that using something that was such a familiar image. Not so much today, in 21st century. The way that we do sheep ranching today is very different from the first century production of sheep, the kind of sheep that Jesus and his contemporaries knew. Back then, sheep were kept mainly for their wool, and they lived in flocks with their shepherd, with the same shepherd, for many, many years. And sheep and shepherd became so familiar with one another, almost like we would have a pet, that you would know your animal. The sheep knew their shepherd and vice versa. It's been proven that a sheep can recognize the face of another sheep and recognize the face of their shepherd for many years, even if they've been separated for a while. They would recognize that face, and that they know that that voice of the shepherd, even if they had been separated for a while. Sheep aren't dumb. If you ever watched the difference between herding cattle and herding sheep, you would understand that sheep are not dumb. Cattle, you have to herd from. Now, I'm an expert on ranching, of course. But cattle, you have to herd from the back. You have a cattle prod, and you poke them in the hip, and prod them along, and shout and yell, and get them to move through the corrals. That's, you have to do that from the back, and you prod them along. Sheep, you lead from the front. You walk in the front. Sheep won't go unless there's somebody in front of them. Sheep won't follow. I mean, sheep won't go ahead on their own. They only follow. So sheep are pretty smart. They're not going to go into unmarked territory. They're going to follow along where someone else has already walked. That's the shepherd's job, to walk ahead and the sheep follow. Today's world, they have dogs that keep the sheep in line, but the shepherd walks in front, and then the dogs make sure that they keep going along. They nip at the heels to keep the sheep going. At the end of the day, in the first century, at the end of the day, the shepherd would lead his flock into the sheepfold where they would spend the night. And the sheep would intermingle with one another, and the shepherds didn't worry about their sheep getting mixed up with other sheep. Because when the time came, the shepherd would stand at the gate and make a sound, or a whistle, or some kind of a noise, or a holler out a name of a sheep, and the sheep would just come. They did not respond to the sounds and the calling of a different shepherd. They would only respond to their own shepherd's voice. They would run and follow that shepherd, who would then lead them out to the pasture. The Gospel of John that we just heard was written at the end of the first century, when the Christian church was undergoing persecution, and the flock of believers had been infiltrated by false teachers, teachers who were perpetuating a gospel contrary to the one of Jesus Christ. Some were listening to voices of strangers rather than to the voice of the true shepherd. They had stopped listening to the shepherd's voice. We pray, shepherd me, O God, because we are just as vulnerable as those people in the first century church. There are so many voices clamoring for our attention. We are bombarded from the moment we wake up until our head hits the pillow again. Conversations, meetings, media, the noise of traffic, the constant barrage of sounds and sights. How are we to distinguish the voice of truth in all of this? How are we to know our good shepherd from the thief? Or from the stranger, as John refers to the groups, to the voices that we hear. In this analogy that Jesus gives us today, the way that we are to recognize the voice of the shepherd is through familiarity. We don't recognize a voice if we hear it only infrequently. Do we fail to hear and to recognize God's voice because we hear it so infrequently? How do we know the shepherd's voice? Through scripture, in familiar and in new phrased prayers, in conversations with others about their concerns or about our own. Joshua talked about the marks that were given to us in the first reading, in the Acts of the Apostles, talking about the fellowship and the prayers and the breaking of the bread and the teaching, the four marks. Well, there's four marks of listening to the voice of the shepherd. Four things that we can always hear in our shepherd's voice. And if these are missing, then we know that that's not a voice from the good shepherd. First, the shepherd will always speak a word of hope. Hope is what our faith is grounded on. Hope that we can see God at work even when we are in the valley of the shadow of death. If the voice we hear is a voice of despair or doom or failure, then it's probably not the voice of the Good Shepherd. Those billboards that are proclaiming May 21st is the day of judgment, I don't think that's the voice of the shepherd. There is no hope in that word. That's not the voice of the shepherd. Secondly, the voice of the shepherd is always a voice that speaks a word of trust. There are those voices that call us to doubt, to fear, to skepticism. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's the voice of the shepherd. Forgiveness is another thing that we always hear in our shepherd's voice. There are so many voices today that call for revenge or hatred, drawing lines that exclude, wanting to create an us versus them mentality. But that is not the voice of Jesus, who comes to us, even dying on the cross, so that we might know the power of forgiveness. And finally, the shepherd will always speak the word of truth. It may not be a word that we want to hear, but it is always truth. It may call us out for being less than true to our marks of Christian identity, less than good listeners and doers of God's work that we have been called to. But the shepherd's voice that calls us by name and leads us to the truth of who and whose we are, that is the shepherd's voice, calling us to be who we really are and whose we really are. The baptized children of God, precious and beloved. God speaks. He breaks through the din of our lives and speaks to us words of hope and trust, forgiveness and truth. And these are the words that we are called to repeat. As we listen to the Good Shepherd call us by name and invite us to share in God's abundant life, so we are called to extend that invitation to others who are seeking to hear and to know and to follow the voice of the shepherd. Shepherd me, O God. Speak your word. Call us by name and lead us home. Amen.